Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Hi, welcome to Skies Revival Radio. We're glad you could join us today. This is Tom from the Sky Family. The text for the lesson today can be found in Matthew chapter 22, but we're not going to read Matthew's account of it. We're going to go instead to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to go to Luke 14, starting with verse 15. And when one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who shall eat bread in the kingdom of heaven." Now I want you to read for yourself the full account of this in Matthew 22 and in Luke 14. But what was happening is a bunch of people were eating with Jesus, and Jesus is teaching them about the kingdom. One excitedly leans over and says, "Oh, Jesus, how exciting it must be for those who are going into the kingdom of heaven. How blessed are those who were invited to come." Jesus' response to that statement is the parable of the great wedding feast. Now, the parable of the great wedding feast is not what this fellow was expecting. What Jesus is saying is, on the contrary, almost no one wants to come to the kingdom of heaven, and almost no one will accept the invitation. He goes then to explain that the kingdom of heaven is like a banquet prepared by a king for his friends, a great lavish feast. And you can imagine that a banquet put on by a king would be a spare no expense affair. And when all is ready and everything is prepared, the king sends out his invitations to his friends. Now you can imagine who the friends of the king were. They would have been the nobility, the magistrates, the wealthy landowner, those who would normally rub shoulders with a king. It was all the good, upstanding people of his realm. Well, he sent out invitations to all of his friends. That's what the Word of God says. Everything is going very well until the first RSVP comes back. And what does it say? It says, "Please excuse me, I can't make it." Whoa. The king is like, must be pretty important. Whatever you have to do, it must be pretty important to turn down the king's banquet. And then he puts it aside. He's a little perplexed. And then another RSVP comes back and it says, "Please excuse me. I am too busy to come right now. Thanks for the invitation. I can't make it." And now the king is getting a little disturbed. But then a bunch of RSVPs came back, every one of them saying that they were unable to attend. And that's when the king got quite upset, as you can imagine. And so he clapped his hands and he said to his servants, "Go out into the highways and the byways. Find those in the streets. Find those who are misfits and rejects and those who nobody else wants. And compel them to come in to my banquet so that my banquet hall might be filled. But as for those who got an invitation and wouldn't come, make sure they do not come in the door." Now let's take a look at what it was that prevented people from coming to the king's banquet. What was so important? What was so pressing that they were willing to turn down the king? Jesus tells us that some of them were so wrapped up in their business that they were unable to attend. They had just acquired some new machinery, some new farm gear, and they wanted to go test it out. And so they didn't come. Another group had just acquired some property, and they were so excited about going out to view the new property that they really didn't have time or even the desire to go to the king's banquet. And so they asked to be dismissed. The third group were those who were too busy with nothing more than the affairs of family living and the demands of family life. They were so wrapped up in their daily duties that they didn't feel like they had time to go to the king's banquet. Now, something you will notice about all these three things is that none of them were sinful. That is, it's not sinful to have a business, nor is it sinful to acquire property within reason, and it's certainly not sinful to have a family and to raise a family. And yet, it was because of these things, these ordinary things, which were not sinful, that they disregarded the invitation of the king to come to the banquet. And so we see that it is not sin necessarily that is going to keep most people out of the kingdom of heaven. It is nothing more than being distracted by all the things of this present world. The reason that so many miss the banquet of God is because they are caught up in the everyday affairs of this world, and they don't make time for the king. They don't make room, and they don't go to his banquet. And this is a pretty scary thing, because not only do we forfeit the banquet, we also have incurred the wrath of the king who took such pains to make a wonderful banquet for us. So we have turned up our nose at the king's invitation, and we have also missed the banquet itself. So these are two bad things to do. Now, this speaks to us loud and clear. As we travel across the country from end to end, we find that the church at large is so caught up with the present world that they are neglecting the coming world. We are acting as though the world around us is permanent, and that there's no such thing as the kingdom of God or eternal life. We're seeking to hold on to the things of this present life as though that's all there is. This is insanity, because our life on earth is a breath, and our time in heaven or in hell is an eternity. And so we are caught up in the things of this world to our own undoing. We are distracted to our own distress. And so when God comes to us day by day, inviting us to come to his banquet, he finds that no one will come. He finds that we are too busy to accept the invitation. And what are we too busy doing? Well, we're too busy running after the things of the world. We are too busy with all of our plans, with all of our business, with all of our thoughts of expansion for the future. When he knocks, when he calls, when he invites, we're too busy with our material things. We're caught up in the new condo we just bought. We're caught up in a cabin we're looking at. We're caught up in all these different things. And so when the king comes knocking day by day, no one will accept his invitation. When he comes inviting us to his feast, he finds so many are caught up in the demands of family life. Oh, I don't have time for Jesus because I have to take the kids to soccer. I have to take them to dance. I have to take them to this or that. We are so wrapped up in our world that we don't make time for Jesus. But more than anything else, when the king comes to invite us to his banquet, what he finds everywhere is that people are too busy watching TV, watching the game, playing games, wrapped up in the internet, on their iPhones. They're too busy with their media and their entertainment to accept his invitation to come to his banquet. And so we trade and forfeit our eternal inheritance, many times for nothing more than a small electronic gadget. We trade the kingdom of God for one more sports game that preoccupies us unto the neglect of the things of God. Now, this is very dangerous because we don't know when God might be done asking us. We see in this parable very clearly that when they turned down the invitation of the king clapped his hands and sent his servants to go find someone else that would be grateful to be invited. So we don't know how long we have before the Lord says, enough, I'm going to find somebody who wants to come. I'm going to find somebody who is delighted that I have brought them an invitation to my banquet. And so we risk the anger of the king. Now, this banquet that the Lord has offered to us is an amazing thing. He's not invited us to go to the dentist and have a root canal. He's invited us to a feast. He wants to fulfill all the heart needs that we all have. Every one of us is composed of these desires to be loved, to be fulfilled, to have meaning in their life, to have security, to have peace. These are the things that make up the needs of our human heart. And these are the things that we are striving for all day long. Every day, we are striving to fulfill these needs of our heart. But unfortunately, we can't find them in the world where we are striving to get them, because peace is not in the world, because fulfillment is not in making yourself happy. Joy is not in getting one more thing, because security is not in money. Security is in God. And the entertainment we're involved in to try to fill up the void, it just makes us emptier and emptier and deader, and we have no joy. And so while we are running after and striving after filling up these great pressing needs of our heart, the Lord is day by day holding out his hand and saying, come, come away with me, beloved. Come to my banquet where he will give to us those very things that we're striving for. You see, there's no peace on earth, but peace comes through Jesus. Peace is in Christ. And so if we come to Jesus day by day to delight in him, we become filled with his peace. We find the very missing ingredient that we're looking for. It is found in Christ. And so the banquet of God is this feast of joy, of peace, of fulfillment, of security, of love. This is what the banquet of God is. It is a spiritual feast for our souls. And as we neglect the banquet of God day by day, we become hungrier and hungrier and more desperate. And so the revival that we preach, the revival that we work for day by day, every day, is to simply call people to do the most rational, reasonable, and intelligent thing that any human being could ever do. RSVP the king, I'm coming. Hold a seat for me. I'm going to be there. That is the most intelligent thing a human being can do. Say, Lord, I'm coming to your banquet. Now, how do we come to the banquet of God? What does it mean to actually go to the king's banquet? Well, I'll tell you, it's not in any religious works. It's not in by doing more at the church. It's not in bodily exercise. It's not in some kind of a new diet. It's not by healthy eating and a strict regimen. The way to go to the feast of God is to clear your schedule and spend time in the presence of God. Spend time reading the Word of God. Spend time meditating on the things of God. Spend time in prayer. Spend time with Jesus. This is the banquet. This is the banquet. It is setting apart time for the Lord. And as we travel about calling people everywhere to repentance, we also call them to come to the banquet of God. We call them to take a challenge, to make room for the Savior, to make room for God in their daily life. We call people to set apart 45 minutes, a half hour, an hour, time that is set apart for God. We call people to go to the banquet of God, it is found in his presence. And so to do this, we must take physical steps. We must be proactive in going to the banquet. The banquet is not going to be fed to us intravenously. We can't be doing all the things of the world, sitting in our lazy boy, watching yet another game, and the kingdom of God and the banquet of God is going to be fed intravenously into our arm. No way. If you want to eat the banquet of God, if you want to obtain the joy of God, if you want the peace of God and the presence of God, you must go to him. You must clear your schedule. You must make room for Jesus in your daily life. If you go to church on Sunday, that's great. That's a great start. But what really counts is what you do Sunday afternoon. If you do something that causes you to dismiss everything you heard on Sunday morning, well, you've just undone your time with Jesus. So spend time with Jesus in the afternoon on Sunday. Spend time with the Lord on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday all through the week. This is when our relationship with the Lord is actually built up. And so we challenge people to make room for the Lord. Being proactive means actually scheduling the time into your day and taking the steps to make sure you're not interrupted. Because believe me, you are going to be interrupted and your time with Jesus is going to be challenged. It will not be left unchallenged. Every distraction imaginable is going to come up when you decide to spend time with Jesus. So turn off your phone, turn off your eye stuff, turn off everything. Lock the door, take the phone off the hook, pull down the shades, and for heaven's sake, put the animals out. And then sit down with the Lord, sit down in your favorite chair, pull out the book, and begin to dwell in the Word of God. Where should you start? Where should you read? Glad you asked. Start at the first page of the New Testament and do something which almost no Christian has done. Read the Gospel of Matthew for yourself. You will be shocked. You think you know the gospel? You don't. When you read that book, your head will be cleared up, your feet will be put on the firm, hard path, and all the things and the crazy things you've heard will start to be cleared up by Jesus's commanding and clear words. It will get you to where your face is set like flint for the New Jerusalem. Read the Gospels. Read the New Testament. Almost no one does that. We just listen to sermons and teachings, but we never read the book ourselves. And make sure it's an older translation. Do not trust some of the new hip versions that are so popular today. They are not accurate. Go to some old-fashioned Bible. Go to a King James, New King James, New American Standard. Go with something that has some integrity. Spend some time reading the Word of God. Let the light of the Holy Spirit shine upon your heart to expose any areas that are grieving the Lord. You know, there's all kinds of things in our hearts that are so contrary to God. And when we sit down with Him and His Word, He begins to reveal to us the areas that we were blind to. He begins to show us attitudes. He begins to show us unlawful desires. He begins to expose the lusts of our heart. He begins to shine His light on us, and we begin to see all the areas that are not pleasing to Him. And so as we go through our daily time with the Lord and we begin to bring these things to Him in simple repentance, in simple humility, saying, Lord, I didn't even realize these things were in my life. Please forgive me. Please cleanse me. Help me to walk in a way that's pleasing to you. And as we do this, God begins to clean us up. We start to become revived. We start to become the revival. We start to become full of the light of Christ. When we begin to surrender these areas of our heart to the Lord, we become filled up with Christ. And as we start to come before the Lord day by day, well, at first it's going to be real hard because we're so not used to spending time with Jesus. And to spend a half an hour with the Lord, you're going to think you're going to die, but you won't. You will live. And as you begin to make this a habit until finally you make it through the first month or two, by the end of the third month, your time with Jesus will start to become sweet and you'll begin to look forward to your time with Jesus. And when you start to look forward to your time with Jesus, and when you find that your 45 minutes is not enough, you have crossed over a line. You have gone from being a Christian in name to becoming a lover of Jesus, someone who loves to be with him. When that takes place, you have become the true bride of Christ, the one that has learned to love Jesus more than the world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we want to say yes to you. We want to say yes to your invitation, and we want to go to your banquet. Lord, we want to start spending time with you. We want to start eating what is good. We want the peace of God. So we take this challenge today to make room for you, that you might make room for us in your great banquet. I pray, O Lord, that we would feast on your word, that we would feast on your goodness and your presence. Lord, may revival begin with us. May the revival we seek and the revival that we pray for begin this day in me. I pray, Lord, that I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and is available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they're supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
my soul. You lighten